meeting to order at 4:16. Stand for the Pledge of Allegiance. Ready to begin?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Roxanna.
Here.
Jacob.
Here.
Brenda. Danielle. Brian. Charlie.
Oh.
Richard. And Jim.
She said Jacob, so I answered.
I'm sorry.
I answered for Jacob.
I'm just calling you by your last name. All right. Do we have any public comments? All right. Approval of draft minutes. Do I have a motion to approve the draft minutes from the last meeting?
Motion.
And a second?
Yeah.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, moving on to number two. Establish a timeline for presentation of findings by Recreational Activities Subcommittee. Did you want to move to table that?
Mm-hmm. I moved to table the presentation because Danielle is not here, and she had some good information she wanted to provide.
So really what this is not to
timeline?
Do the presentation, but to establish a timeline, because I felt like we had established the subcommittee, but
mm-hmm.
we didn't really, and we gave direction, but we
mm-hmm.
didn't really give a timeline of, you know,
mm-hmm.
do we want them to report
mm-hmm.
out on what they found at the next meeting
oh.
or two meetings,
mm-hmm.
but I thought just establish a timeline so that we're not.
And what do you suggest?
Unended. And that's really, really dependent upon what type of progress has been made, I would say. If
mm-hmm.
you guys as a subcommittee feel like you've done all of the work that needs to be done and come up with enough information, then I would say to probably put it on the next agenda to report out.
Mm-hmm. That's a good idea.
All right.
Mm-hmm. Perfect. So when you guys make a motion to, let's see, our next meeting is...
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So August 15th. So right. Make a motion to receive a report on the findings of the Recreational Activities Subcommittee
mm-hmm.
on the agenda for August 15th.
Make a motion.
That
okay.
would be a motion.
I'll make a motion to receive the update of the Recreational Activities Subcommittee on August 15th.
I'll second that.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? All right. Moving on to agenda items for future meetings. Brian, do you have an agenda item you'd like to add?
Not at this time.
And Charlie?
Can't think of anything right now.
Roxanna?
No, nothing at the moment.
Nothing at the moment.
I would like to add something to the agenda for next meeting. I was thinking that maybe we could do some investigating into not necessarily parks for getting grants for the Roosevelt Bowl, fixing the things that are wrong with it. There's a mentioned at a meeting when you were gone on time about all the things that needed to be done. It is historical, and I thought maybe reaching out and maybe the people that do the grants or that are working in the grants for the city could look and see if there's any historical grants that are available for the Roosevelt Bowl.
So you want staff to bring back a list of potential grant opportunities?
That would be great, yeah. And there was just one other thing. I just had a question. I don't know if it's going to be an agenda item. A while ago, when we had talked about the parks, I mean, I look at all these wonderful programs, and I wish that we could utilize the schools better with, you know, exchanging information when we have these events. And I remember there was a few blockage, which was the they charge you to give and information and maybe open, like somehow opening up the channel ways. It's mutually beneficial for them to have their students occupied doing things and for us to have their students going to the school, to the events. So would that be something that we could put on the agenda, or is that something you guys are already working on?
Talk to Juanita a little bit about what is the current status with being able to advertise our stuff through the schools? Does it still have to go through Peachjar?
Yes, and that's the only way they'll take it. Peachjar has a fee attached to it.
What is it? What's it called?
It's called Peachjar.
Peachjar. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Is that a company they use?
Yes, a company that they use, and they mainly distribute flyers through an online process, which means you would receive emails with attachments.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of our parents wouldn't even open the email. That's what we do know. We get better response from putting our flyers up through social media.
Uh-huh.
The fact that we have actually lost the avenue to put the flyers in through the school don't really make too much of a difference, because we get better traction on our flyers online on our media pages, because each one of our community centers are on Instagram and
uh-huh.
are on Facebook.
Uh-huh.
And we get way more farther reach with that than specific, and I see you nodding your head,
mm-hmm.
you know exactly what I'm saying, in opposed to even putting it in the school.
Mm-hmm.
I can make one flyer, get it approved, put it online, and never have to duplicate that piece of paper ever again,
right.
and still get the same amount of attendance.
Yeah, I wasn't necessarily talking about flyers. I was talking about just the information, because I know, like, with my daughter's school, we get, I don't get any emails from her school. I just get text and voicemails.
Okay.
And I just, like, the Winter Wonderland, that's such a great event. And, you know, I think, I don't know, I just, I totally agree. Yes, that's great. But wouldn't we want to expand if we could?
Absolutely. As far as I know, the school only disseminates that information
right.
through the school, which is school
okay.
stuff that's happening at
yeah.
the school.
Okay. Yeah.
So as far as putting any parks and recreation information to the schools to where you would receive that
mm-hmm.
also in the text or in the voicemail,
right.
I don't know how that would happen.
Okay.
But we can reach out. We can reach out to the school district and inquire about, you know, just talk to about how can we get our information out to your student
mm-hmm.
body through your program.
Just for instance, my daughter went to she's at the summer camp at
Fremont.
Uh-huh. Awesome. Loves it. She loves it. It's amazing, and it's such an innovative program. What a great idea! Kudos to you guys. But I thought, wow, wouldn't it have been nice if her friends would have known? But they could have all planned, oh, let's go to the summer. You know, it's you know, it would have been, but nobody's there because nobody knew about it. So, it's just something I've been thinking about.
So we can do that. We'll reach out to the school district and see if there is an avenue or some sort of conduit that we can use to team up and
yeah.
you know, promote their...
We're all on the same team.
Yeah, promote their stuff through us and... Ours. They have access to the largest audience that we serve.
Yeah, it's true.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
All right. Well, moving on to the director's report.
All right. I wanted to provide you guys an update with the progress related to the Prop 68 grant application that's going in for the renovation at Second Lake Park. We did hold our 5 community input events. We ended up receiving, I believe it was 176 surveys back from participants that showed up and identified what it was they want. We just received the results and data back from Communications Lab, and now am working with Blaze and Associates, who's the grant writer, to develop the and finish off the conceptual site plan, as well as the scope of work and cost estimates. So we're looking to have a draft of the application by mid next week, and things are looking good. We're right on track to get the application submitted prior to the August 5th deadline. So keep our fingers crossed.
Yeah, weren't they still talking last night about taking some of the property?
Yeah, potentially. And what we're doing with our design is, I mean, there's 22 and a half acres, and I think there's 6 parcels on the north side of the park that are potentially that the council wanted to set aside for future mixed use. So we're focusing the grant funds in the areas of the park that aren't within those parcels, and any additional work that needs to be done within those parcels will be done with our own city funds,
yeah,
as to not invest the grant funds into those specific parcels. That way, if within the next 30 years they wanted to do a mixed-use development in that area, there's no restrictions on those. There still are restrictions on it, just it would be one less restriction. Because the way that the assembly bill was written back in 2012, originally when that property was granted to the city by the state, there was a restriction on it that was in perpetuity, that it had to be held as part of open space. But then in 2000, I believe it was 2012, there was an assembly bill that was passed that gave the city the right to sell off parcels of that park, and that's when it was divided into the several different parcels that as it exists now. But there's also some restrictions on there that say equal whatever amount of parkland is sold from within Second Lake Park, an equal amount of parkland has to be developed on a site within, I believe it was within 1 mile. So if they do sell off the 12 and a half acres and do some sort of mixed-use development, then through the city and the developer, we would have to show the state that we're replacing it with 12 acres of parkland developed and ready for use somewhere within a mile of that site. So that is still intent. But the process is moving along. We got a lot of really good feedback. And again, like I said earlier, the overwhelmingly the most desired amenity out there is a walking path with exercise equipment.
Mm-hmm.
Right after that was playground equipment. So we're tailoring the site plan now to include all of the most highly coveted aspects of the community.
Is it
going to
have a fencing around it?
That's part of the proposal, yeah, to fence it off completely.
All right. Recreation events. Ms. Juanita.
Good afternoon. The information that I've handed you all today is some of our closing of summer activities that we'll be holding at some of the community centers. The first couple of items is some of our ice cream social flyers, as July is National Ice Cream Month, and this Saturday is National Ice Cream Day. So we have two of our sites will be holding socials tomorrow, and we have one with the exception of the other three that will be holding theirs on the 27th. Some of those ice cream social events will include arts and crafts, ice cream themed games, ice cream eating contests, and things of that nature. This summer, we have summer lunch running in six community center locations. Summer lunch began on Friday, June the 7th, and is scheduled to run until the end of July, actually August the 3rd, I believe. And we have currently served over 3,200 meals during the summer with an expectation to serve at least 4,000 more before the end of the summer. We also partner with the libraries to provide lunch with the libraries, where a library was coming in twice a week at some of our sites. That would be the last flyer in black, is lunch with the libraries. They come in and did a variety of magic shows and puppet and story time. All of those activities have been very well attended, with over 20 to 30 participants at each location enjoying those shows prior to the lunch service. We have our final summer events that'll be taking place. Delman Heights will be hosting a back-to-school bash, where they are currently getting donations to be able to provide backpacks to kids. Ruben Compost will also be holding an end-of-summer bash. Their event will include crafts, refreshments, and water games. Hernandez Center will be holding their end-of-summer event, which is the ice cream social. It is scheduled for July the 27th.
Their event will include crafts, games, and ice cream eating contests along with prizes. The Vertimont Community Center has their ice cream social scheduled for July the 19th from 4 to 5 p.m. And Vital Creeks in the Summer Bash is scheduled also for July the 27th. Their event will include arts and crafts and the water play day. They have partnered with the San Bernardino Fire Department to come out with a truck to do water play with kids. They've also done that over at Ruin Compost. They're in the Summer Bash. It'll be scheduled for August the 3rd. It'll go from 2:30 to 4. Their event will also include water games with the fire department. I've also included information for CID. CID is doing one of their biggest fundraisers of the year. It is scheduled for July the 26th, I believe. It is the Grapes of Gourmet. Grapes of Gourmet is an annual fundraiser that holds a wine and beer tasting and allows attendees to bid on over 80 various themed baskets with different assortments of items such as Disney tickets, appliance, gift cards, and more. Attendees have a chance to taste over 10 different vendors of various beer, wines, and foods. All the information is there on the flyer. All those proceeds benefit the CID programs and their annual Disneyland trip. Kids that participate in the programs there get to sign up to go to the Disneyland trip, which is scheduled in November, and it is an all-expense-paid trip for these kids. We also had the opportunity to work with over 16 youth workers in our community center program, where we were able to provide these kids an opportunity to make an extra few dollars during the summer and learn valuable job skills and be given back to their community. The last thing that I have is the CID Family Day, which is a family-hosted potluck and movie in the park. It's scheduled for September the 13th. Activities start at 5, and the event will include a scavenger hunt, water games, potluck dinner, and a movie in the park. Anybody have any questions?
No. Thank you.
All right. Well, I'm glad. If you guys want any information about any of the programs or have any information that you'd like to provide me, I also included my contact information there.
Thank you.
Oh, I do have
a question. Is there a possibility of putting all of this in a booklet?
Actually,
is that cost prohibitive?
I'm actually not sure. I'm working on that because I noticed Senior Services has a nice little booklet. So hopefully y'all can piggyback off that. I'm in discussions and negotiations with Ms. Lakeisha to give me some pages in there. So
that would be great.
I was thinking so, because that way I could have just had a nice little booklet. Because I was thinking she had her new copies on the front counter, and I was thinking, oh, yeah, I need that. So I'm currently working with her to actually include some recreation information into her senior guide and possibly get information on what something like that is costing at the time.
Oh, okay.
Well, thank you guys for your time.
Thank you very much.
Our next is Senior Services. I mean, you guys, those of you that know Lakeisha know that she's not here, so she wasn't able to attend this meeting. But I can tell you, I've been working on the Senior Nutrition Grant for the upcoming year and working on the budget moving forward, getting ready to go to council. We saw a significant increase in the number of meals that we served through the Senior Nutrition Program. The year prior to last, we served about 48,000. This year, Senior Nutrition Program served over 53,000 meals to our senior in the single year. So it's a great program, and it seems to be increasing. It's expected with the baby boomers that are starting to hit their golden years. We're seeing an increase in the population, and the need really has increased. So thankfully we continue to get support from the county and the Department of Aging and Social Services, and we have continued to get support even through our budget crisis that we've had. Continue to be able to support the senior meal programs, especially. I was fortunate enough to be able to attend one of the senior dances. That's where we held one of our 5 community meetings for the Second Lake grant program. And I'm not sure.
There's video.
Uh-oh. We got to see that. Bring it to the next meeting. We got to see Jim dancing.
I got to see the senior resident that doesn't ever leave the dance floor. I was a victim. But it was, to see the seniors all getting together, there was probably a couple hundred people there.
Wow.
We offered meals to them at the dances. There's a cost to it, but they provided, they had a great barbecue dinner with barbecue chicken ribs, and I think it was like $12 for the whole dinner.
Wow.
So it was really cool. It was nice to be a part of that. So our senior service programs are moving along well. And then for our project updates, our splash pad renovations are getting ready to come to a close. The Tom Miner splash pad was opened 2 weeks ago. It's been open for almost 2 weeks now. The hours of operation there are from 9 in the morning till 6 p.m. I'm talking to our facilities. They're the ones that are, our facilities and public works are the ones that are doing the maintenance on the splash pads and setting the times. So I'm going to talk to them a little bit. I think we could probably shift that time from 9 o'clock in the morning, move it back to 10 o'clock, and then keep it open till 7.
Because
it's still light till like 8 o'clock. It's still pretty hot at 7 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to see if we can shift that to a 10 to 7 time frame, and then 8 o'clock the park's closed, so it gives them an hour to get wrapped up and get out of there. Wildwood Park, if it's not ready to be opened, it's very close. We're looking at probably opening that. I'm thinking if they get there's a specific part for the controller that they've been waiting on from the manufacturer, and as soon as they get that, it's ready to go. So that one will be the next one to open. And they're looking at opening Ann Shirell's and Lytle Creek about the end of the month. So those both should be open. The kids will get a couple weeks there before they got to go back to school. And then once the school year starts again, we're not going to shut the splash pads down, but we'll move the timing so that, I mean, there's no sense in having them run during the school hours, but we can do some programming for the after hours. We're looking at pretty much mirroring our aquatics hours with our splash pad hours. And the HVA replacement at the Hernandez Community Center, we're probably looking, according to our facilities department, the contracts have been signed, the orders have been made for the equipment. It's about a 60 to 90 day production time on those, so we're probably with that looking at 45 to 60 days, and then they'll be replacing the HVA system for the gymnasium at the Hernandez Community Center. That's a big job.
All right. Okay, moving on to the commissioner report. Brian, do you have anything you'd like to report?
Nothing at this time.
Charlie?
Yes. I was, well, not surprised, but I heard about the co-ed baseball at one of the parks, I think, on Mount Vernon.
The softball tournament.
Mm-hmm. Is it a tournament or men and women playing?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
On Saturday or Friday? So.
One of those days.
Go ahead, and maybe I'll be able to decipher which.
Well, no, I just kind of ran across it, and so I was, you know, pleased to know that there was something going on at that ballpark in Mount Vernon.
So what we did is we're trying to reestablish our co-ed softball programs. We have the men's hardball league going now out at Fiscalini Field. They play on every Sunday out there. We're trying to get the co-ed softball programs going again. So what our adult sports staff did was, just on Friday nights, they pretty much are running the facility over at Encanto like they run the open gym at Norton. So it's just pickup games, so to speak. And they got about 15 people the first night, and we're hoping that those 15 will go out and tell their friends, and then we'll gather enough interest to start a league back up and start running our league over there. And then Saturday, it was the second of the softball tournaments, so to speak, that are being put on by the
It's the Young Visionaries. It's a couple of the churches in on the west side that are working with our VR Violence Intervention Program Manager. And what they're trying to do is bring some of the gang members together on a different platform than what they're used to interacting with each other. And the first one went really well. The second one wasn't quite as well attended, but there was an incident that happened on Friday night that David Miranda, our Violence Intervention Program Manager, said kind of put a damper on the event the next day. There was friction between a couple of the gangs over there on Friday night, so he felt like it impacted people's decisions as far as, you know, it was still a little bit heated over there. But they ended up with, I want to say there was four teams there. They had barbecues going and music and announcer. At the same time as the mayor's announcement of the grant for, again, through the VIP program for our youth intervention, we got $1,050,000 grant for the VIP program in conjunction with Urban Conservation Corps to provide some intervention and diversion for kids that have been, that are in the welfare program, because there's been studies done and documentation that the kids that are in the justice system that had prior, had been entered into and had been, had contact with the welfare system prior to entering the justice system, those kids tend to stay in the justice system longer. So this program is to intercept those kids that are in the welfare system and divert them from the justice system. So there's programs where they do alternative as opposed to going to a juvenile detention center or something like that. They go into these programs that provide them with an opportunity to get into public service and those types of things, volunteer programs. So hopefully that'll all pan out. And the reason parks were involved is part of some of the programs through the Urban Conservation Corps are going to be forestry programs and recycling programs, and they're going to be out at some of our parks giving instruction on how to trim trees, how to cut grass, gardening, those types of things.
Wow.
So
that's great.
That's money well spent.
And also I'm wondering about Nicholson Park and getting the water back on, because the grass is just brown.
That's a good question, and Ernesto Salinas was, he's our operations and maintenance manager, and I've discussed this with him, and he is going to start, attending these meetings to answer those types of questions. Unfortunately, his mother passed away a couple days ago, so he's out, but he will be attending regularly. I haven't gotten an update on Nicholson Park in a while. I have spoken to our facilities manager about getting power reestablished back out there, because the water that's there, the problem is that there's not enough pressure to cover the whole system. So there's a booster pump out there. Without electricity, the booster pump doesn't come on. So you end up with small circles of green grass because the irrigation doesn't project out as far as it should. So we're looking at for a temporary measure, putting what they call a Myers cabinet out there, like we have for streetlights, where you have a meter that's contained in a cabinet instead of on the side of a building, and then providing power through that source so that we can get the irrigation going again. So we'll continue to discuss that.
Continue to work on it. And what about, let me see, I had three things. Oh, goodness, senior moment. Oh my goodness! Can you pass me over
Sure.
Roxana. So I'm not sure if any of you have heard about Viva La Boba is actually one of the, I guess, things hosting a park cleanup at Secum Lake on August 25th. It's a Sunday at 8:30 in the morning. I don't know if any of you have
heard
about that.
Yeah, I saw that on social media. I'll be in San Diego. I'm going to.
I just heard about it yesterday. So Mr. Friedman needs to come and visit the Parks Department.
Yeah, so I actually have invited him out, but to the last meeting, but it was like really last minute. And then I saw this, when was it? I don't know, like a week or so ago. And I was like, oh, I should bring this up.
Yeah.
Because I don't know, you know?
Yeah.
What was the date on that?
The 25th of August.
The 25th. So it'll be a Sunday at 8:30 in the morning.
Second week.
But yeah, I'll reach out again and tell him to come out to the next meeting, which is before the park cleanup. So.
Or could he just contact Jim?
Well, yeah, that too.
Yeah, I can. I'll reach out to Viva La Boba and Mr. Friedman,
okay,
and let him know that we. I mean, obviously, we appreciate the efforts for sure, but there does need to be some sort of.
Yeah, because I was kind of like, I didn't hear about this last time, so
yeah,
I was like...
They're going to need to do volunteer waivers or provide us with some sort of an insurance certificate to just to indemnify the city.
Okay, yeah.
But I want to... And that's something that we need to address on a global standpoint. I mean, we have so many people that want to come out and do these things. So we need to establish that process of what it is. Obviously, you don't want to charge somebody a permit fee to
clean
go out
park.
And clean up the park, but, but there are certain concerns that we need to address. So we will definitely get in touch with Mr. Friedman.
They would need liability insurance, right?
Yeah, which I'm sure he has through his business. Okay. They would just if he's willing to do a certificate showing us as an additional insured, then they could take responsibility for that, but I think probably the better way to do it would be to team up with us and do some volunteer waivers.
Right.
Yeah, definitely.
That's
genius
work.
Mm-hmm.
I've met her at this time.
Charlie?
Okay. I was wondering if we could have the arts, not department, but the arts commission to come and visit us, you know, so that we could become acquainted with what they're, you know, trying to achieve.
Okay, so do a combined meeting type thing, or
mm-hmm.
do you want to just maybe meet with the, ask the commissioner to attend, or maybe the two chair, commissioner,
the
maybe the two chairs can get together.
Mm-hmm. And let us know what they're working on, because most of the time we don't find out until the actual event, you know, we're kind of, we should be more together, but we're kind of separate organizations. Or
yeah, I mean, we can provide you with their agendas so you can see what's what they're working on. I can tell you what they're working on, because that's another commission that I that we take, that Lisa and I take care of.
Oh, okay.
But are you interested in what projects they got going on? And
right, you know, maybe we might have some things
maybe
that we could
pair
you know,
up with her.
Mm-hmm.
Because
you know, the more that we're together as a whole, we're able to provide more activities into the community.
Mm-hmm.
Are they still receiving the money from the developers? That percentage is that, or was that erased? Do they still have a large
just
amount of
that
money?
Still,
spend?
That cultural development fee is, it's still being collected.
Uh-huh.
That's what they used last year, or actually it's in the process right now. But that's where the money came from to provide the visual and performing arts grants, and that's where it's historically come from in the past. Council also approved to take funds from that account and offset some of the reductions in our parks department and our library. There's definitely still funds there, and they are still collecting that.
Because some of the things might cross over. I agree with Charlie. Like, you know, we were talking about the Roosevelt Bowl and eventually doing like a concert series there, which I hear from other people that have lived here their whole lives that they used to do that.
Mm-hmm.
They used to have concerts there, and
yeah.
It used to be amazing. And maybe that's something we can work with them, because they have the budget, and you know, it kind of
they don't. And that's the
they don't.
There's a little misconception.
Okay,
there. They don't control any budgets. That's not a bucket of money that they get to decide what is done with. What gets done with that money? They're just like you guys. They make recommendations to the council. It's the council that decides where those funds go, but. They are Arts and Historical Preservation Commission, and the Roosevelt Bowl is a historical arts facility, so a venue. So definitely there's a connection between the two, and just because it's part of the parks department doesn't mean that it's not. It really is more arts and historical than recreation, so it's more performing arts venue. I would suggest that Jeanette get in touch with Dottie and you guys discuss, discuss what type of projects you guys can collectively work on, and then bring them back to your respective commissions.
When is your meeting for the historical, the arts commission?
It is the
meeting.
Third Monday of every month.
What's the third Monday?
All right, I'll do that. Thank you, Jim. Okay, well, I think that, do I have a motion to adjourn the meeting? Okay, Roxanne, a second?
A second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
Aye.
You're opposed.
It still wins by approval.
You want to be here till, you want to be here till 1 o'clock?
You want to stay.
That's all the meeting went off for, till 1 a.m.?
Is the address for culmination?
Jim, the meeting went on to 1 o'clock last night?
Yeah, the joke was 1 o'clock.
I stopped watching it late.
Yeah,
no.
I had to go.
I got to sleep about 2:30.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm going to look at that now.
Oh, are you?
Yeah. Cool. I was looking at some different
software. Which is good.
Could you like 3D?